Nobody wants to grow to a place where you've lost your attractiveness. Can any of the ladies agree with me? I mean, have you seen these really beautiful blessings, but like they're 74 and they've got like a little circle on their cheek, you know? They've put some of the lipstick on here and then they smudge it all over the place. And obviously, at 74 years old, you're not wanting to get married again, mostly. You're just wanting to know that nobody's going to run away when you walk into the room. Isn't that so? Everybody wants to retain some measure of attractiveness. Everybody wants to know that you don't walk around. You know how they say that somebody with bad breath, you're always the last to find out about it? And the way you find out about it is like when you're in the lift and you say hi and then everybody gets out before the door closes. And then after a couple of times, having done a solo ride up the lift, you've got to ask yourself some questions. Something's not right. And some of us have best friends, others have mothers who help you write gladly. And say, you've got a little problem, fix it, and you'll change your whole life. So, you know, for a lot of us, life means different things. And it's amazing how you can adjust to something that is actually a disability. It's debilitating. It's really messing up your, like for yourselves, messing up your chances relationally. It just messes with you. But because it's like a car with faulty brakes, or I know that there are people who drive Toyota Tazzas, so no offense. But you know, a car without power steering. When it's like 38 degrees and you've got to park in the middle of town like four times in a day and then you just want to pass out. There are a couple of people nodding and you never stop to think about what is it that's making my life so hard, but it's a little thing. And obviously with a Taz, you can't fix it. But if it's personal, that's just stuff that you can fix. And tonight I'm wanting to talk about stuff that we can fix. Read with me from 1 Peter 3 verse 9. And we're going to talk about something so little that you and I can fix that'll change our lives so incredibly. And so tonight we're thinking about how to make this a great year, how to make this year happen, how to make this year different. Okay, anybody in for a good night? Anybody in for a good year? Cool, okay, then we're on the same page. Peter says, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So Peter is saying, listen, two things about life that you must learn. Life, if you sit down, analyze it, break it down, it's all about a series of transactions. Watch what he says, don't repay. In other words, there's something without money going on here, but there's something, there's a value transaction going on here. And if you get that transaction wrong, and what he's saying is some people really get their transactions, some people really get their business back to front. For those of us in business, we'll find out that sometimes people come along, just started reading a book by a guy who does business very differently. Everybody encouraged him to do it differently. He's approaching it completely wrong. But now after a couple of years, a lot of people have had to acknowledge that they're actually wrong. The whole industry is wrong and he's right. So this is sort of a back to front business principle here. And it talks about the fact that if you and I were to learn to put our brakes on, okay? Have you heard of people who live without brakes? Something happens and they do motor mouth. They just go. And if you're in their way, you're dead. And sometimes you find other people, they're not so bad. At least they have a handbrake. They can make a 360 spin just before they dump you off the precipice. So Peter's talking to a lot of people who have faulty brakes, or just have a handbrake, or have no brakes. Which means he's talking to all of us. And he's saying there's another way to do this. So watch. Not only are we to think of life differently in terms of a lot of relational transactions, something happens, I've got to respond. The way I respond determines what I'm giving and what I'm getting in return. And so a lot of people get stuff that they actually didn't want, but that's what they paid for. It's like you go to the shop blindfolded and say, give me that. And so they give you what you want. You get home, open the package, and it's never what you wanted. But that's what you paid for. It's a poor transaction. It's a bad transaction. A lot of people go through life like this blind. And so Peter's saying, listen, I want you to open up your eyes. But the norm is that a lot of people have been raised to think that if I get a bad deal, this is how I pay for it. And he says, no. That's exactly what I'm saying. You must change. You must actually be willing to change the currency that you put on the table when bad things happen to you, when people offend you, when people freak you out. And can we have that scripture on again? Because at the end, there's a beautiful thing there that I'm wanting to focus on. And we're going to get practical about this tonight. So he says, the reason I want you to change your transactional experience in life, the reason why I want you to change the way you think about life, where you don't just go through life like a zombie, things happen, and I react, and then I react, then things happen, and I react again. Life's not quite like that. Life is meant to be lived a lot more calculated. We must be in the moment, we must understand what is happening here right now, and what the results are going to be. What am I going to get out of this deal I'm making? It's a lot of deals we make. And so he says, the reason why we need to get that thing right is because at the end, he says, we are actually meant to be the people who live in a place where instead of having a situation where you get into the lift and everybody gets out of the lift when you get in, we must be the kind of people that when we get into the lift, there's a whole crisis because 200 people wants to get into the lift with us. And now we move to the Axi ad. Ever seen those Axi Roland ads? Angels fall out of the sky, women come out of the sea and out of the desert as soon as you spray this stuff on, and the whole place is just full of babes. The things that young students' dreams are made of. But scripture says we were meant to inherit a blessing. We were meant to attract blessing to us. So for a moment tonight, we're going to look at what that means. And how do you change your transactional experience in your relationships, in your everyday life? And then we're going to look at how do you do it? We're going to get practical. So after a little while, I'm going to share a couple of stuff. Then I want you to get up from where you are and get with people that you're comfortable with. If somebody next to you has bad odor, bad breath, move. But first apologize, say, listen, no offense, but I'm more comfortable with that girl over there, that guy over there. Then I'm wanting us to get together in groups of four, and then we're going to practice this on each other. We're going to practice it, and I don't get spooked tonight. Don't have a cow. Some of us think we come to church and church for me is where I sit and I spectate and then I criticize everything afterwards. Don't do that tonight. Okay, do it differently tonight. Tonight, you're actually going to participate because that's actually what church life is meant to be about. This is where we come to practice to do life, not to think about life, not to speculate or to gossip about life. This is where we learn to do life. But not just do life, this is where we do life successfully. So Peter's giving us counsel as to how to do life successfully. And so you're going to practice with four friends tonight, just 2-3 minutes, it's just symbolic. But the idea is that you get it right tonight and you practice on it this week, this month, and at the end of the year, we can have a conversation about whether this year has been just like any other year. Whether your experiential dynamic has actually changed. Whether you're living, being blessed, or not. So, what does it mean to bless? Generally, it talks about a pronouncement. It's something that you say, but it's a very powerful statement that it makes because it invokes or causes divine blessing, divine favor from God to rest on somebody. So it's something that you say to something and then it causes the world around them, circumstances around them to react to them differently, but positively. And when we say it, it has that effect on people. Now, you may not think of yourself as like this very charismatic, profoundly spiritual, shamanic kind of person that can speak and magic happens. And scripture says, actually, that's where you're wrong. The other thing that scripture says about blessing and about these transactions is that we are all selfish and that's okay. We all are happy to do stuff that's going to benefit us. And tonight it's okay to feel that way. And that's what 1 Peter says, 3 verse 9. If you understand this principle, where you get your transactions right, your interactions with people, and you know that this is a transaction, what I pay you has to pay off for me. I need to get my money's worth out of what is happening here. It's really going to come back to you. If I get this right, it's going to come back to me. The more I give this pronouncement away, the more I'm going to attract it to me. That's the bottom line. So it's a pronouncement that gets made. And there are two words used for this. In the Old Testament, it's called barak. In the New Testament, it's a word called eulogio. And that word is where we get the word eulogy in English from. And unfortunately, we have taken in our culture that word, and we've taken it to the cemetery. So when somebody dies, have you seen dead people? And they have these beautiful teeth. And they lie there in state, and they smile like that. They push their lips back like that so they can look happy when they're dead. So when somebody lies like that, then we all gather around, we say sweet things about them. You call that a eulogy. When you think up all the sweet and kind things you can say about that person, you call that a eulogy. But that is actually not the biblical meaning. It was never meant to be that. Eulogio, a blessing, is meant to be spoken over somebody who's alive who can benefit from it. Dead people don't benefit from it. Those flowers mean very little to them. You would notice that they don't come back to spook at you to say thanks. It was a beautiful bouquet, and unfortunately I must leave now. It means nothing to them, okay? So, barak, eulogio, is meant to be a pronouncement spoken over living people who can benefit from it. The reason why we speak it over them is so it can benefit us, because it comes back to you. Okay, that's the bottom line. So, barak has actually a very strong meaning. It means to convey a gift by potent utterance. Okay, so if you'd allow me, Claude, just come here. Just imagine this thing is wrapped. I'm giving it to Claude, and Claude takes it with both hands, and Claude looks very excited about it, and Claude does the Japanese thing on me like that, and he says, karimasuka, thanks very much. Have you seen Oriental people are beautiful with that? They're so gracious. They can't say thanks enough, and sometimes you want to stop them and say, you can stop that now. You can stand erect. But a gift is meant to have that effect on us. You've unwrapped it, and the reason why I give it is because I like the kick that I get from this whole karimasuka. Oh, this is like amazing. Oh, like you so amazing. The giver feels amazing when he gets that response. That's why we give gifts. Did you know that? We get something out of that. And so scripture says it's like a gift. The pronouncement's like a gift we give, but it's a potent pronouncement. In other words, you and I have two levels of communication. You can say, well, you're not a nice person, or you can tell somebody off. You can tell them what a pig they are, and you needn't even do it loudly. You can just do it between your teeth like this. But you throw it at them so as to knock them off their feet. You're wanting to change their life with the words that you're speaking now. And all of us recognize that inside of us. We have such force behind our words that we can put them. And it's the strength of conviction that we put behind the words that we speak. Do you know what I'm speaking of? So if you really mean something, drunk people get this right, and then afterwards they say, I never meant, and that's the big lie. But they really put all their weight behind telling you off. And our scripture says, this is where the transaction changes. You've never thought of using that power of yours, that potency in your heart, in your spirit, to put it behind words that actually changes people's lives positively, blesses them. And this is very powerful because God gets very excited about this. It talks about placing the blessing of Yahweh's name upon people. Claude, can you come here again? So, if all else, if it's just a general blessing, and I give Claude a gift, I've just strapped this to his head, and when he walks away, the gift that I give him is the name of God that is now tied to him. Which means there's a whole lot of good things, there's a whole lot of protection, there's a whole lot of preservation, and there's a whole lot of amazing presence that he takes with him. That's what blessing means. So, thank you, Claude. So, in the beginning, in Genesis, We see God speaking over nature. God looks at the expanse. He looks at all the wildlife. He looks at all the ecological cycles. And he says, my, I'm amazing. I did an amazing job. And scripture says he blesses it. He says, you're going to be amazing. You're going to be incredible. You're going to knock people's socks off when they hike, when they leave the Earth's atmosphere in a spacecraft and they look back. They're going to get goosebumps just looking back there. Or other people who don't have the money or the time, they'll buy the DVDs from BBC and they'll sit at home and they'll dream of the day when they have an HD, 3D, LED and they can watch the Earth in HD. And they get goosebumps. Some of us go to an IMAX and we have the same experience. It's just incredible. It doesn't matter whether you watch from the sky or you go under the water and you see what happens there. I mean, have you seen a whole school of orcas do their thing? You know, those killer whales? I mean, just amazing. When they spot a lot of dolphins and they begin to circle around them and then do a vortex and they do it right down to the bottom and they lock them in. And while these guys are swimming this massive vortex with the little dolphins not having a clue what's going on, then one of them goes in and they begin to pick the dolphins off. Incredible, such powerful scenes. But all of that works because of a blessing spoken over nature. So biblically, you can speak a blessing over stuff. You can speak a blessing over your home. You can speak a blessing over your car. You can speak a blessing over your year and over your studies if you discover the fact that you have the power to do it. You have the power to speak life over stuff. Did you know that? You have the power to speak life over the atmosphere in which you live. So if it works like this, as the Bible says, that when you give it away, you get it back, then how does it work? Just watch this. There are four ways that God has designed for us to practice this, to get it right. And you and I are going to begin to get it right tonight. And I want to encourage you to go on practicing it, because this year, if you get it right, you're going to change your life. And you're going to come back and want to thank me, then you're going to bless me. And I'm going to just say, I receive, I receive, I receive. This is so awesome. Give me. Because that's with blessing too. It's not like you give it away, but the person on the other end must actually make a choice to receive. The biggest blessing that God ever gave, besides the pronouncement of blessing, which he did over nature later in Genesis chapter 1, he spoke over man when he made us. And he said, you guys are so gorgeous. You're stark naked, but you're beautiful. I bless you. I want you to have lots and lots of kids. Be blessed. Rule and reign over the earth. He spoke a blessing over us. Mankind is blessed because of a pronouncement of blessing that God made over us. So God sends Jesus Christ, his son, and then Jesus comes, and John 1 says, well, the people around at the time didn't quite make up their minds about him. They didn't like him. He wasn't pretty enough or whatever. For some reason, he wasn't Jewish enough. For some reason, a lot of people didn't take to him. And so they missed it. Scripture says he came to his own and his own did not receive him, but to as many as received him, he gives power. And so tonight, you have an opportunity to exercise not only the power of giving away blessing, but the privilege of receiving blessing. A lot of us have difficulty receiving. So watch this. We start by practicing on God. Watch what happens in heaven. Revelation chapter 5 verse 12 talks about the fact that there's a lot of blessing going on there all the time. Angels saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. King David put it this way, Psalm 103. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything inside of me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits. I get so excited by the benefits of God that I bless him. Now watch this. If blessing, Claude, can you come here again? Because some people are asleep. Those fans aren't helping them. They're not extracting the air. Blessing means that I've got the power to give an intangible gift. This is just a representation of an intangible gift. But in other words, if I bless Claude tonight, then I'm actually giving him a gift, an intangible gift that he gets very excited about, like a Japanese karimasuka man. He's still going to get that right. And then he goes in with life. But now, watch this. If the angels, but especially us, that's why God is organizing a huge party for us in heaven one day, where we're going to join the angels in blessing him. But he gets excited like a Japanese man when you give him a brand new camera. Ever notice the Orientals? Best possession in the whole world, the camera. You give me a big camera, make me very, very happy. So, blessing God means that God, in his relational dynamic with us, has actually made provision for us to give him gifts that excites him no end. And think of this, it's like the rich guy, wherever. You know, he's got a yacht of 180 meters long with a helicopter on. There's nothing in this life that he can't, that he doesn't have. He's got everything. But now he's got this little cousin, she's 7 years old, and she gives him a gift of a little chalk thing, crayon itch she's made of him. And he gives it to her, and if you step onto his yacht, there it is, in the office of his yacht against the wall. And every sheikh and everybody comes in, every president of every country, when they come in, he tells them, this is what Susie, my little niece, did. Isn't it gorgeous? And it's mine. She gave it to me. It's my gift. Worship is like that with God. Blessing God is like that. It is just amazing to him. He treasures it. Every time we bless him, he receives it as a gift from us. Isn't that awesome? So David says, I've got that thing, and I've got this too, that if I bless him, guess what? He responds by blessing me again. And I want a lot of blessings, so I put all my strength into it. He says, everything inside of me just blesses him. I'm really enjoying this thing that I've got going with God. I practice on him all the time. But then we go from there. Watch this, Luke 6:38. Then we learn to give it away to others. Scripture says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom, into your lap? Watch this. For with the same measure, can we go on? For the same measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. See, there it is again, the transactional thing. In our relationship with people, we determine what comes back to us. And if you bless them, guess what? To the same measure that you bless others, it comes back to you. And men are actually attracted to you, not to do you, not to be ugly and nasty to you, but to bless you. Isn't that amazing? And it like happens automatically. A lot of people haven't discovered this because we have become so accustomed to the bad brakes in our car, and it's sort of living a life where Murphy's law prevails. What can go wrong will go wrong, and this is just life, and life is bad, and life is terrible, but God doesn't want life to work like that. Not in our relationships in any case. God wants us to live in a place where we understand what we give away because we understand what we're getting back, and we know that we're going to get it back, and it always comes back to the same measure. Watch this. In Genesis 12:3, God says something to Abraham, a favorite son of his. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was archetype. He was a prototype of what God had in mind for all his children, for believers. We are like Abraham. And God says to you and to me, like he says to Abraham, that we have a responsibility when it comes to our status as the blessed and the favored of God. Abraham had a responsibility to go to people who were ugly with him. On occasion, there were guys who had the hots for his wife and they actually wanted to, you know, get on with her. And so he had a responsibility. In fact, Abimelech, the one king, came to him afterwards and says, Abraham, why did you do this to me? You almost got me into a heap of trouble. I didn't know this was your wife. You lied to me. You said it was your sister. And if I had slept with this woman, I would have gotten into big trouble because I've since discovered who you are. You are the favored and the blessed of God, Yahweh Almighty. And he would have gotten to me if I'd done you in, I would have been in a heap of trouble. So Abraham, why don't you tell me? A lot of believers don't understand how God feels about us, how protective he is, and the fact that when you come to him, blessing of pronouncement over you like he did with Abraham. He says, I'm yours. But I want you to accept that. A lot of us don't accept that. So a lot of us have never come to the place where we sometimes need to understand that if somebody's really, really mean and ugly with us, we have responsibility to have coffee with them, just take them aside, but be very gentle and be very humble and say, listen, I need to explain something to you, something very little, but it's something very important because it can really affect your life in a big way. You ought to consider being nice with me. Because if you're nice with me, God's going to be nice with you. But you can also choose the alternative, but that's your choice. But I just thought I'd let you know. So when things happen after this, you have a reference for why it's happening. And it's not personal. I'm not special. It's just that I belong. I'm his possession. I gave my life to him. He takes it very seriously. Some of you are going to grow older and look back and wish you'd done that to some people. You could have spared them a lot of pain. They could have still been alive today. God says to Abraham, so the other meaning too is, if you want to get this thing right, it's important that you identify people who have gotten the revelation like Abraham, and you begin to engage them. You begin to copy them. You begin to get mentored by them. Whether they do it deliberately or not, doesn't matter. You just hang with them. You'll find that even in church, in the kingdom of God, there are a lot of people that are blessed and a lot of people that aren't so blessed. Hang with the people that are blessed. Because it rubs off. It's contagious. It's like measles. And then finally, the fourth way to practice it's find Romans 12:14. Bless your enemies. And don't curse them under your breath, because you must understand what you're doing. In South Africa, we're pretty traumatized. Us who drive, we've got this ongoing battle with taxis and stuff. You know what I'm saying? For other people, it's bicycles who bunch in big heaps, and we're all meant to not kill them, that it's very hard to get around them when it's rush hour, and these guys are riding their bottles, and they're fine because the whole road belongs to them. So it's hard to bless people sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Under your breath, you want to send them all to hell. But Scripture says don't do that. As Christians, we cannot afford to do that, because if you do that, you actually have the power to do that. You've got the power to speak death and destruction over people if you really want to. And even if you do it carelessly, but you don't realize that you're actually meaning it. And so Christ says that for us as believers, when we stand before God one day, we're not going to have to give an account of a whole lot of things we did, but of a whole lot of things we said. And this is the reason why. Because we've actually been endowed with the power to either bless or curse. And we're meant to have an understanding that when we do it, it's not magic, it's not religion, it's life. The power of life and death resides with us and in us. And so tonight, we're going to focus on the power of life that we have. In Numbers 6, 22 to 27, there's a formula that we're going to exercise tonight. Simple little formula, I'll read it for you. I'm going to break it down for you, and then we're going to practice on each other. Aaron, with a priestly class in the Old Testament, and we are priests, the New Testament said. We are now the priestly class. All the Christians are our priests. So tell the priests, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, can we read this bit together? The Lord bless you and keep you. No, okay. Can we start all over again? You guys are slow and asleep, like it's hot and stuffy in this place, and it isn't. Can we start over? Can we read it like we mean it? We're pronouncing a blessing tonight. The Lord. Okay. Let's have a little competition there. Ladies, I can't believe that you get the guys to outdrone you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. You should do yourself a favor and go to Polaris or get a recording of their singing on a Monday morning. I've never heard anything like this. You know, all that's lacking is for a couple of guys to get up at the end and go. Okay, so the guys did their thing now, but ladies, can I ask the guys to do it again? But ladies, can I hear a little bit of conviction from you? Because I know when it comes to talking, you've got the edge. So don't be so coy tonight. We know you can do it. I'll read the first line and then we're all coming together, okay? The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That was fantastic. That was, guys, isn't that great when they come to the party? That's beautiful, eh? That's so special. There are five parts. It's a five-part blessing. As we go through it, I want you to latch on maybe one, maybe two that you're going to do over somebody, okay? What it means is this. Number one, bless and keep means to speak life over someone's existence. It's like Avatar, where you greet one another and say, I see you. Somebody else says, I see you. That may not be much, but I'm sure you've had this occasion. Jacques, just come here. How's that? Really good to see you. Have you had those? It's like two Stevie Wonders meeting. Or she says, so nice to see you. And she's always checking to see if somebody nice isn't walking by. Ever had that? Terrible. Because that is just so disgustingly discourteous. I mean, if I'm here, talk to me. Otherwise, just ignore me and walk by, okay? But if you're going to see me, see me. If you're going to see me and connect with me. Make eye contact. So that is the most important part of the blessing. If it's going to come from the heart, and if you're going to transfer it. Do you know that they say that when, and you've got to watch this. Some of you just need to slow down. Arma's wife was up here just now, and she's very good at this. You know, the baby's just been breastfed, and out lies there burping in her arm, and then she does this. And you can ask Arma, you can call her, you're not going to zone in, you're not going to get through, you can shake the room, send lightning, you're not going to get through. Because there's this eye contact thing happening between her and the baby, and research has shown that there's a transaction, there's a transfer and an impartation intellectually, mentally happening, cerebrally happening from the mother to the child along that eye contact. And all the mother's doing is acknowledging the existence of the baby. She's not singing, she's not talking, she's just looking. You know, anybody in love in the room? Oh my goodness. Okay, girls, they'll get it next week. Maybe I just jumped on them too suddenly. He's not in love with you. Anybody in love in the room? Okay, Beverly's in love. Fantastic. But you know those moments when you can just do that. Nobody understands. It's not even sign language. It's just you see me and that, and I see you, and yes, and you see me and I see you. It's a very blessed transaction happening there. It locks everybody else. So it says the Lord bless you. In other words, the Lord sees you, and there's acknowledgement of somebody's existence. Okay? And it's a personal acknowledgement of God's commitment to protect and to preserve them. And this is the beautiful thing about when you speak that over somebody, that every time I do it, God commits himself to back up everything I say. But until I say it, he's not going to do it. Isn't that awesome? Because we're the agents of life or death, depending on what we choose. Number two, to make his face shine upon you. In other words, it's to know the smile of God. So it's a confidence and a security that comes from knowing that God approves of you as a person. So I can go to somebody and I can say, listen, I just want you to know that I so approve of you as a person. I think you're an amazing person. And I just want you to know that God thinks you're an amazing person. But now I want you to keep this in mind. Scripture says we're meant to do that to our enemies. And to know that when we do that, God agrees with us. He thinks they're amazing. He thinks they're awesome people. But we do that because it's going to come back to us. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. Number three, the Lord be gracious unto you. In other words, what I wish for you is that you're going to know the joy and the thrill of feeling and knowing that you're forgiven. Where you experience the patience of God, like He's not putting pressure on you to conform or to be something that you're not or to change. But He accepts you totally, unconditionally, because He loves you unconditionally. The grace, to know the grace of the Lord. Number four, when Scripture says He turns His face toward you, all of this is idiomatic, obviously. If He turns His face away from you, it means that everything you do and everything you long for, everything you aspire after is going to flop. You're living in the shadow of His glory. But when He turns His face toward you, it means He's smiling upon you and what you do. That the work of your hands is going to succeed. That the desire of your heart will come to pass. And so you can say to somebody, man, I really pray, and I want to say to you that I believe that everything that you touch is going to turn to gold. Everything's going to happen, and this year is going to be such a massive success for you. In fact, it's going to be the biggest success to date. You know why? Because I say so in the name of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That somebody would experience the prosperity of God on what they do and what they aspire to do. And then finally, the Lord give you peace. It speaks of one thing. The shalom, the Jews greet each other like this, speaks of happiness. But you know it's happiness within the context of relationship. That all of your relationships happen. That they're positive, that they're rewarding, that they're blessed. Also speaks of the circles of influence that you occupy. Because one's relationships happens in circles, in concentric circles. You've got the circle in the middle of your life. There's a dot. You stand on that dot. Then around you, there's one little circle, say of your immediate family. Then you've got your close friends. Then you've got your acquaintances. Then you've got the guys at work. You know what I'm saying? And it circles, relational circles like that. Some of you look at me like you know what I mean. Can you stand? Then you can show me you actually know what we're talking about tonight because you're going to do it right now. Stand quickly, quickly, quickly. We're just going to run through the five goodies again. But before we do that, so that you can decide what blessings you're going to focus on for this practice exercise tonight, I want you to move to four people that you're comfortable with, four people together. Okay, but you're not allowed to move out the building. Okay, kom ons maak 'n kring in die bos. Vinnig, vinnig, vinnig. Okay, now you hear the ladies. We can hear you. Okay, it's just going to be a 2-3 minute exercise. It's not going to be an all-night thing. I want to encourage you to go to a small group this week. We can practice some more. We've got a whole night. I really want to encourage you to get this right. It's going to change your life. Okay? Now, all look up. How to bless. Bless and keep refers to the fact that we can tell somebody that we acknowledge their existence. We approve of their existence. I'm so glad you're alive. I'm so glad you're here because God wants to bless you. I want to bless you. And God wants to preserve and protect you. He wants to commit Himself. And I want to just wish that for you. That you will know the preservation and the protection of God. That's number one. Number two is that my wish and The blessing that I want to speak over you is that you would know the smile of God on your life. That you would know that He approves of you as a person, that as a person you're okay. You're not weird, you're not strange, you're not funny, there isn't something wrong with you inherently. At the core, you're a great person. You're an okay person. You're a person worth loving and celebrating. God approves of you as a person. He smiles upon you. Isn't that amazing? And I wish for you that you would know the confidence and the security from having an experience of that in your heart. You just know it, which means you lift your head up. Scripture says of Abraham, God said to Abraham, I'm your glory and I'm the lift of your head. I'm your confidence in this life and I'm your success. God wants to be, that God be that for you at this time. Number three, that God be gracious unto you, that you would know His unconditional acceptance, that you would know His forgiveness, that you would know His forbearance, His long-suffering, His patience with you. That you never come to a situation where you feel under stress to change or to be or to become, where you know that His grace changes you. He changes you. He makes you. He shapes you. He just wants you to be with Him. He's the pot and you the clay. That you know the grace of God. Number four, that you know Him turning His face toward you. That He looks with kindness on everything that you put your hand to. Everything that you do, your contribution that you make in this life, all the stuff you do, all the gifts that you have, that God would bless that with success and would prosper that. And the dreams that you have in your heart, the aspirations, that you would know God turning His face toward, that He would put the spotlight on it and He would speak life and say, let it be, like He did at the beginning of creation. That's what I wish for you. And five, it's a fivefold blessing. I pray God's shalom on you, that your relationship with Him, your relationship with all your concentric circles of love and friendship and family in your life would just be blessed. That there be no strife, no malice, no discontent, no backbiting, no backstabbing. Just happiness, just fulfillment, just joy. So I'm putting in a lot of words, you can get handles around it, but you speak that over somebody in your group. CS, can you come here? And there's a way I want you to do this. I've already told you that there's got to be eye contact, okay? And then I want you to touch her or him, either like this or like that, and then you speak to them like that. Now, thanks, yes. Now, for some of you, that's going to be big, okay? But can I show you what's biggest? Yes, you must come back here. That once you do that, speak, then he must receive and he must give me a hug and say, I receive that.
I receive that and take it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Isn't that fantastic? Okay. For some of you, it's going to be new. Every person in the group gets one chance to do it. You choose somebody in the group randomly. Okay? And do it. I'd say if you're here with the girlfriend tonight, don't do her, because you've got all of the week to do. Okay? You've got the whole of tonight after the service. But now, with somebody else, just take on that challenge a little bit. You've got 2 minutes. Go for it.